Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your wages are being garnished. We can stop that now. It's hard enough to pay your bills when things are good, let alone when a big chunk of your take-home pay is gone before you even get your check. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne, and I can stop the garnishment and get the creditors off your back immediately, often the same day as our consultation. Both Chapter 7 and 13 provide bankruptcy relief, but choosing the right chapter is crucial. In a free consultation, we can create a plan to get your finances back under your control. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
At 99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. There's a woman across the pond in the UK. Hello. Recently pointed, posted on a British website for moms about an issue with another mom. And that mom she has an issue with is throwing a 14th birthday party for her son at a go-kart track. And she's charging everyone $82 to attend. And that includes $59 for the carts and $23 for transportation, 80 miles round trip to and from the track. 80 miles to get there? That's a 40-mile trip. All right. It's a long way to go for the track.
That's a process.
The woman who posted about it said that she feels like that mom is being unreasonable, and she asked people if they agree, and people absolutely do. One of the mom even figured the mom throwing the party is making a profit. They said, quote, no way would go-karting and transport for 30 teens cost over $2,400. That's a lot of teens, though, dude. You're going to transport 30 kids to a go-kart track,
yeah,
and that's going to be the birthday party?
That's a lot of effort. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like that, whatever happened to the days of just having it at your house and making it like a He-Man theme? Those are my favorite kind of birthday parties.
Me too. At 14 years old, you still would have dug that?
I mean, I was 19 at the time.
Oh, so yeah, of course I would.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about
that's
that.
That's a good point. Yeah, I guess you're a little bit older. It just seems a little weird to expect that you're going to collect like a head, collect like basic payment ahead of time. Like if I was having something at a go-kart place, I would almost be like, okay, meet us there and pay on your own, or try and get a block rate.
Yeah, I
don't know.
I know, dude. I have to say that just the idea of these destination celebrations, you know, mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, I mean, who's got the money to do, who's got the money to cover the whole thing? So I can understand how it's difficult to cover the whole thing and just invite people. That's great. You know, you've got a rich friend if they could do that. And who's got enough money to go like what if every birthday party was like that? Like every party you got to go and chuck out all that money if you have to pay?
And what 14-year-old, even a popular one, has 30 friends?
I was thinking that too, Vic.
Really? I think that's not that much, I mean, for a party.
Apparently you and I, Vicky, had no friends.
Really?
No friends.
I remember, like, for Joey, now Sarah, she'll invite anybody because she just wants to hook. Yeah, but
you're,
Joey,
you're 14, you're in high school. Your whole class can kind of, you could constitute kind of like friends. I mean, minus maybe like the one douche guy named BJ that would make, you know.
Yeah, you can't put me in that group.
But you know what I mean? There's enough people. If you're not somebody that's fighting with everybody, you probably want most of your classmates at your party so that everyone's there. It's a popularity thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just be afraid, like, and maybe it's just because I grew up a nerd. I'd be afraid they'd come just to make fun of me.
Mm.
Like, at 14 years old, I didn't have a giant birthday party for a reason.
I can see that. Yeah, it's definitely times have changed because it would just be my neighborhood friends. That would be it. Even though I went to school, unless I had a real best buddy at school, my neighborhood friends were my best buddies. But I wonder now, nobody's talking to each other in the neighborhood. So maybe that's what you got, or just the school buddies, and that's a bigger group. I don't know.
Just assume that doesn't seem that out of the ordinary to have that many people. But
well,
yeah.
You were Mr. Popular with all your breakdancing moves. That's what it was.
Clearly,
why everybody loved you.
Everybody wanted to come to the party of someone who's part of Team Voltron in the breakdance community. I understand that.
Steve, break out the piece of cardboard. Do it, Steve. Get out there and make it happen.
So it says I took my nephew's go-karting for 2 sessions, almost $500 from Joe in Seattle.
Wow.
Sheesh. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is not going to be a cheap party. I don't know. You got 30 kids at a go-kart track? Yeah, you can spend over $2,400.
That's why you choose not to have that kind of party.
Yeah. I know. Why can't, like, though, I mean, well, Joey, the best thing we ever did for Joey, in my opinion, was when we basically had all your buddies bring over the computers and we cleared out all of our living room furniture so that you could have your big computer party.
Oh, the LAN party.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The first and last party I ever got to have.
Why was it the last?
Well, Steve, uh-oh. I was a bit of a drama king back then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They sent them to Costco to go get soda and pizza and stuff. And my mom came back with cherry Coke instead of regular Coke. I got really angry.
Yes.
What?
Like visibly wow. Red and upset.
Yeah.
Because of like, my friends like Coke. They hate cherry Coke. So I just started throwing them.
You started throwing the cherry Cokes?
Yeah.
Did you confirm with your friends that they did not like cherry Coke?
Actually, they love cherry Coke. Oh. It was I who did not like cherry Coke.
That
dumbass.
Was the real reason.
Can you just say, hey, mom, you got the wrong ones? Can you go get the right ones?
I could have said that, Steve. Did I?
No, apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. When...
And the cat's in the tree.
Little boy in his cherry Coke. Everybody loves Kathy. She's the sweetest one in the world. And, of course, I'm the hothead. But if you do push the right button with my wife, you are done. Yeah, so that's why it was the last party for him, because she's the one that does all the party organizing. And when he did that, I was like, no. I was trying to like tell you, I could see Kathy get to the point of breaking. I'm like, oh, you didn't know, don't go there. Oh, it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame her. He had a meltdown over cherry Coke.
Yeah, he did.
And we didn't clean up anything. We left our pizza everywhere. We were up till 2 in the morning.
Yeah, there was not.
Ouch.
Yeah, mom was like, you know, guy living, I know, there's not a lot of moms that like to just see what happens to their boys as they grow up and just become these disgusting slob creatures. And that was the first sign of that.
I wish I would have known this before we went to Chicago, because I would have kept buying drinks for Joe and being like, hey, he wants a rum and Coke, make it cherry Coke.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see if he'll snap and go back to the old Joe.
Yeah, very elaborate, these birthday parties. But that's, Steve, that's just what's happening.
Yeah.
Everything's
like
elaborate.
A wedding every year for these kids.
I mean, it's just crazy. It really is. And all of the milestone parties. I don't remember having to have a graduation party for kindergartners, middle schoolers. We only had one graduation. It was for high school. That was it.
I remember having a party for kindergarten graduation.
Okay, so it started with you.
It's my fault.
Yeah, okay, because my generation.
We go nuts. Yeah, we tap that keg.
Right.
It's a real coming of age story.
Well, you know, for kindergartners, man, you know, you got to think, why not?
But was like the party at the school, or was the party like your parents hosted the party? Because I feel like that's different.
It was a celebration at the school, then a celebration at the house. It was like a full, do for high school graduation, right?
Uh-huh.
They wore, Joe, I've got a picture of Joey in a gown graduating, what, just because he could, you know, he knows what the letter A looks like, so give him a gown? Really?
Okay, well, yeah.
My school
I at least color it inside the lines.
Yeah.
Get my diploma.
I remember being so angry about it. I mean, everybody in the place, like, nobody agreed with me, because, you know, I had hours where I could be at the school because of my radio show, so I could get off early and go do some school activities.
Right.
Then the school stopped inviting me to the activities because I basically just lambasted all the moms there.
Was there cake and snacks at these activities?
There were somewhere, whether it be at my house afterwards, but there were like full-on ceremonies with the gowns and announcing the names, getting the diploma. A diploma to graduate kindergarten? Really?
I don't think it matters as long as you're getting cake.
Yeah, see, that's...
I'm surprised that you're complaining that she has to get cake.
But then you have to make all these appointments. It's all, like, your whole schedule is just littered. There's not enough cake in the world to make me just want to, like, have all my days sitting in a room for hours watching some little kid trip his way up to the stage to get a piece of paper he can't read.
Okay, that's kind of funny, though.
I was going to say, that's what we live for. We can place our bets on it.
Oh,
yeah, right?
All the recitals, all the soccer games. I mean, really.
You get it. You just hate spending time with your children.
My parents didn't have to do that. My parents didn't even know where I was half the time.
And that was by design.
Yeah. I was going to say that. I think they did that on purpose.
Dude, that was everybody.
They kept checking the milk cartons. Like, damn it, he didn't make it on this day. Maybe tomorrow.
He keeps coming back.
You know, say what you want. I was a loved child by somebody.
Someone.
Yeah. We got this pro football player that just admitted that he used to slide into the DMs of opponents' girlfriends only to get into the opponents' heads. You're going to hear from this player at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle. While we were out of town, Steve, the Seahawks won their first preseason game of the year.
Big win, big win. Russell Wilson looked great.
Yeah, didn't he? Wait, I don't think he played. But, no. Yeah, big win. I mean, look, it's always great to see some of the younger dudes and see, hey, who might actually stand out and somebody we didn't expect stuff from. That's the cool thing about preseason, but that's about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Jalen Ramsey, he plays with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He just did an interview where he shared an interesting tactic that he had back in college at Florida State. And he did this to mess with the heads of his opponents. What he used to do, this is horrible, but I mean, it's brilliant strategy. He used to slide into the DMs of his opponents' girlfriends.
In college, like when I was at Florida State, I was grimy, like super grimy. I didn't care. Like I was talking about your girlfriend. Say I was playing like a big receiver at whatever school, I would look up his Instagram, see his girlfriend, whatever, boom, boom, boom. And I would probably slide in the DMs and, you know, we get to the game. He probably know about it. Either way, I'm bringing it up in the game. Like, yeah, you know, I slid in first name basis, DM, she hollering at me. Like, people get hot about that. But I'll say when I got to the league, though, I stopped that because now people got wives. And that's where I grew. I ain't as grimy.
It's respectful. They have wives now.
I tell you, though, that's why I think a lot of people misunderstood Richard Sherman. A lot of people around the country didn't understand it was a strategy.
And I think it's like that for a lot of cornerbacks, Jalen being one of them.
Yeah.
That you're trying to mess with that. I don't know why, but in the game of football, it seems like to mess with the receivers would be the best way to get in the heads of somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they're the targets. And, man, Richard Sherman, yeah, was definitely somebody I like to talk trash. That's a next level, though. DMing girlfriends.
Yeah. Well,
like, even if it doesn't go well.
Oh, yeah.
You're now... That guy's going into the game with his mind not 100% on the game. He probably just wants to hurt this dude.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to penalties. I mean, look, we just had a gigantic fight at training camp recently where there was some punches thrown. And Pete Carroll, that was when he said, he's like, look, we got to work this out because you can't have this on the field. It kills the game. You get penalties for somebody responding and smacking around. So Pete's like, I'm glad it happened at training camp. But now I can address it and use it as an example.
Right.
Because, yeah, and that's why guys like Jalen and Richard Sherman, they're like, I hope you get mad at me. I hope you take a swing at me. I hope your team gets penalties. I hope all of a sudden we're in your backyard because you got so many penalties.
So it makes me think about the movie Slapshot. I don't know if you've seen it.
I don't think I ever have.
Well, one of the players was trying to get the other guy on the other team to freak out and start a fight, and so he just starts going off on his wife and, you know, just starts saying some really insanely great things.
Yeah.
But man, the guy snaps. Yeah. And that's what you're looking to do. Like, hey, how's Alice doing? I don't know why I picked Alice.
Alice was a hot...
It's a very current name for
sure
a woman.
Does. Alice.
How's Beatrice doing?
Yeah.
Beatrice good?
Yeah. I don't see too many pop stars with the name Alice. I really, you know what I mean?
It's coming back, though. My
Alice is coming
name
back?
Is Alice. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
I'm a trendsetter.
See, yeah, look at that.
Oh.
How's Alice doing?
Yeah.
She's good.
Yeah.
How's Gladys?
Yeah, Gladys has got to come back.
Gladys. Bertha, she good?
Yeah, hi, yeah. Gladys has got to come back. Eleanor's got to come back. We got to get some of these names back. Bring it back.
I feel like Eleanor might be coming back, too. I see it on all those, like, hipster baby names.
Yeah.
Eleanor.
How about Phyllis? And, you know, Phyllis and Beatrice. We got to get those names
Beatrice
back.
Beatrice is, like, I think is coming back, too, because it sounds like Bellatrix, so.
Oh.
From Harry Potter.
Old is new again.
Right?
Nice.
The vintage names are now trendy.
Kids are taking back the vintage.
I couldn't imagine, though, if you're playing the game and all of a sudden, like, what if the girl doesn't tell you?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, the girl tells you, like, oh, that guy's just trying to get into my head. Ignore him. Whatever. Yeah. Or F that guy. I'm going to kill him on Saturday when we play. You know, like that kind of stuff. But what if the girl never said anything? And then you're just like, hey, man, I've been talking to your girl. And then that wide receiver's like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Look out to the crowd and you're like,
oh, yeah.
What?
I know, dude. And it's college, you know. I mean, come on. We know a lot of relationships are very temporary in college.
I wonder if he actually hooked up with any of the girlfriends.
I wouldn't be surprised. The guy's a star player. I mean, you never know. I mean, call me crazy, but I bet there's a couple gold diggers out there in the world of college looking to lock in some dude for his fame, money, and all that. He's and about to become rich as F.
It gets in the head of people. I'm not going to say the name of the player, but there was a prominent player in the world of baseball. He was a big star, and his team had signed this free agent guy, and the guy came over, and he was a great player. Well, the guy had the crappiest year ever, and people were like, I don't understand it. He's a great player, and he sucks. And then, you know, I happen to know people that work for the media, and they go, oh, yeah, you remember that guy? Yeah, well, that big famous player banged the free agent's wife all year long, and so the free agent dude. I mean,
this is like the premise of Major League.
Yeah,
almost
exactly. And you I'm telling you, I used to hate this big star player for the team because the fact I thought this guy's an idiot. I mean, it's too bad he's got much talent, but he's an idiot. Then I hear this story of him. Oh, not as an idiot, but he's banging the guy's wife, and the guy is having a horrible season because of it. You know, it's like, hey, do that to somebody else's team. Why don't you go? Go bang Derek Jeter's girlfriend or something like that. Yeah. You know, so he'll have a bad game. What are you doing?
Or Alex's current significant other, A-Rod.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that, right?
No, yeah,
right?
No.
Hey, Shane.
What if he hits up one of the girls on the DM and she's recently broken up with her football boyfriend and he gets to be the rebound?
Score!
Then that's mind tricks right there, man.
Yeah.
He's scoring a different kind of touchdown.
That's for sure. I mean, again, strategy, which is why mental toughness is so important in the world of sports. It really, really is.
I do love that he said I had to stop in the pros because now, like, they're married.
Yeah.
They don't want to be a home wrecker.
No, you don't want to be that guy. I mean, you got to go to the Richard Sherman school and just say all the crazy crap that he says. I don't know if you saw this, Steve, because you know what? You love the Hulkster.
Yes.
But video has surfaced of Hulk Hogan receiving an unauthorized ride in a Chicago police squad car at O'Hare International Airport, where we just were.
Yeah, I did read about this, and it's apparently like a big, obviously that's a big no-no for the officer to do that, and everyone's freaking out about it. But in all fairness, it wasn't Hulk Hogan, it was Terry Bollea.
Oh, that's right, Terry Bollea. Yeah.
I do not have a 10-inch penis, no, I do not. Terry Bollea's penis is not 10 inches.
No, it's not. Yeah. Hulk Hogan's is, but not Terry Bollea.
Yeah, Hogan's got the big D energy. He doesn't need someone to drive him anywhere.
No.
Terry Bollea now, with the little wiener.
No, that's it, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, Facebook Live, there was a video posted to Hogan's page earlier this month, and it shows the Hulkster sitting in the front passenger seat of the squad car with his longtime wrestling manager, Jimmy Hart. In
out
the back
for the South, Jimmy Hart, baby.
I love Jimmy Hart.
Remember when Hogan came in to visit us for that book tour? Jimmy Hart came with him as his manager, not as to go on the air and be a part of this, and I'm losing my mind. I'm like, he's really his manager.
Which is so crazy, because you really want Jimmy Mouth from the South actually on air, too.
Yeah, get the megaphone. Let's go.
And the video does show the uniformed officer driving with the vehicle's sirens on. Hogan even said, quote, my Uber's got a siren.
So he basically inadvertently
dimed,
because he probably was trying to humble brag.
Yeah.
He dimed out this guy by Facebook Living it.
Yeah, he did.
You think the officer would be like, hey, man, let's keep this off social media. I'll get you where you need to go. But
yeah.
Don't brag about it, Hulkster.
This is why old people shouldn't be allowed to use social media, because he doesn't understand that, no, dude, you're going to get this guy screwed.
Yeah, there's nothing good that's coming of this, Hulkster.
But you know, Hulk's like, oh, this is great. Look at me. Like you said, humble bragging. The cops from Chicago are like, oh, hey, look at this video. This ain't good, and we're concerned. And so now internal affairs is involved, all because the dude was just probably, like, fanning out and wanted to be, you know, offer something cool for the Hulk.
Yeah. He said, I said my prayers. I ate my vitamins.
Yeah.
And now I'm fired.
Now I'm fired.
Thanks, Hulk.
Damn, that sucks.
Somebody had a big question. This is definitely old school versus new school way of understanding things. What is a DM? Somebody wanted to know.
Oh, no.
Going back to that story with James Ramsey.
It's a dungeon master for all you Dungeons & Dragons fans.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah. And for all you adult film fans, it's a dong master. It's very rare that a woman can reach that level of status, but a few have. Hypatia Lee, Christy Canyon.
I love how you bring Hypatia Lee. She's got to be 80 by now.
I'm thinking of some old school ones that have earned their stripes.
Okay, as it were.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know many of the names of the new ones. They don't really make them prominent on the thumbnails.
They really don't. They need to for you.
Hey, BJ, she's your age.
Dude, I remember. Well, I don't want to go off on the thing because we have the DM, but I'll tell you about Hypatia Lee sometimes, because we had her in studio back at...
Well, we can answer the questions. It's direct messages. Now go back to your Hypatia Lee story.
Well, since, much love to my mentor and former host, Brother Weez, got honored this year an award.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
We should talk about that.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. But Hiya Patiently came in on the Brother Weez show when I was working with him in Rochester many, many years ago.
She was a massive adult film star.
Yes, she was.
Star of the masseuse.
Yeah, she was. And they would, the local strip club had a deal to always bring in strippers and adult film stars to our show. For those years of my life, it was fantastic.
Of course they did.
And they had to get naked because in radio back
they
then.
They had to.
Well,
yeah.
This was before Janet Jackson. We should call it, how they have BC and AD, like before Christ and after the descent. Yeah. It should be like before J, BJ, so BJJ.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It should be BJJ. Before Janet Jackson, this was the kind of radio that you could do. And so every Friday, it was every Friday was fantastic. There would be a stand-up comic that would come in, and there would be the nude performers.
Yeah, whichever chick is coming for her meet and greet.
And Hiya
Jiggles.
Yeah, as it were. And Hiya Patiently, oh my God, she was everything
she was
you hope
else.
For. Oh yeah, and then she would do tricks.
In the studio?
In the studio.
Magic tricks?
She would do magic tricks.
Was she making things disappear?
She made things disappear.
Human things?
Anything you'd want. I mean, it was pretty amazing.
Disappear, reappear, disappear.
She was something.
Damn.
And she was the first person.
I went there for my internship.
Hiya Patiently was the first person that sparked the incredible debate so long ago about whether or not bikini waxing, Brazilian waxing was really a cool thing, or were you just somebody who was a pedophile because you liked women that would basically put themselves in that position.
Oh, I thought she started the debate of whether or not pineapple should go on pizza.
Yeah. Well, because again, we were all, I mean, here, the conversation was like this. This is how new this was. I didn't get to see a lot of naked women because, I'm me. So,
what?
Really, honestly, outside of my wife, I don't think I've ever seen that many women naked except on that show. Mm-hmm. And they came in, and I remember going, Weez and I both were like, well, that is a new way to do things, because she came in, there wasn't any hair except on her head. And that was completely unknown for us.
Okay.
This was the first time we had seen
this. Going to a house back in the day where everyone had shag carpet, and this house has hardwood floors.
Hardwood floors, yeah. 1988 is this when this was going down, as it were. And and so that's what Hiya Patiently. So we were just like, not only would like Hiya Patiently for her work, but she also came in and just showed us a new way of doing business. That's all.
Ladies and gentlemen.
She showed a new way to sell flooring is basically what it was. I mean, it was, and so I'll always remember her for that. It was just like, wow,
that's too funny.
Yeah, because we had never seen anything like that before. And I remember we talked about it, Steve, and I'm like, oh, this, and then there were so many people that back then that said, you must be a pedophile if that's how you want the flooring business to be. That's how new this
funny
was.
How times have changed.
Yeah.
And now we're in the middle of this debate of whether or not, because people are bringing back now the shag carpet.
Yeah, the shag carpet's coming back.
Or maybe not fully shag, but like the nice carpet.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Berber.
Yes.
The Berber carpet's coming back. Yeah, that's coming back. Yeah.
And so now there's like, oh my gosh, what the hell's going on? It's so funny how things just kind of keep going in these
cycles. I know. I tell you guys that when I was growing up, and when we would, bury our magazines in the woods and
magazines.
Everything like that, because that's all we had.
It's just like some kind of, Gary Ridgway,
oh,
what else
were
you burying in the woods?
Well, you guys don't know that. Dude, we had to hide the magazines because
we put them under the bed.
No, this is the thing. Our parents found them and then we got in trouble.
So you'd bury them in the woods?
That's what we did.
That's a lot of effort to go take care of business.
We were kind of geeky.
Do you have to stay in the woods then? Oh, there goes BJ with his shovel.
Yeah.
What's he going to go out and do in the woods?
Let me tell you, we had an elaborate operation because we were not going to let our parents ruin the only way that we could see what nature really intended us for us to see.
So did you just sit in the woods and take care of business in the woods? Or did you go all the way back to your house, look at the naked pictures,
and then go
back to the woods and read and put it back in the hole.
Yes, we were able to actually, our memory retention was amazing, Steve.
Ah.
We would be able to keep the wonder of that moment with me and my boys hanging in the woods, you know, our secret stash, as you were, which, you know, and then.
Did you ever show up and they were gone? Like, damn it, little Jimmy beat me to this.
Yeah, little Jimmy was beaten to a lot of things. Yeah.
That choice of words in that entire sentence.
Yeah, it really was. I'll let you take that back. So we were raised on women, well, looking like they were in the shag carpet business. And that was really, like, you know, attractive to us. And now when I bring that up, everybody thinks I'm a freak show.
Right.
And that's why I like to bring back, though, in 1988, everybody thought that what everyone loves today is a freak show. And you're right. Times do change. It is hysterical. I mean, we're talking like 30 years ago or so. It's not that long ago. That
now you have a special folder on your phone like that. That's what people do, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I know. You don't have to go in the woods anymore.
Somebody said, I just Googled her. Hypatia Lee, old school. Smoke show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There she is.
She's a fantastic actress.
Yeah. And I think, and she was, and of course, she was Native American, so she had a wonderful look to her.
She was Native American and Irish.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I know. Wonderful, wonderful look to her. And I don't know what she's doing now. You say she's my age? Really?
Yeah. She's 58. 16? She's 58.
I don't know if she's doing films anymore.
Probably not.
You never know. People,
but, you know, there's thumbnails for everything.
Oh,
Rev.
Dude.
That's true.
I'd click on one if it's Hypatia Lee. I'm not going to click on one for someone else, but I would just out of curiosity, I'd take one of those, where are they now episodes.
They should do that for old porn stars.
Where are they now?
I mean, I broke my hip. Yeah, you've got that's the scenario. Rather than the plumber coming over, it's I broke my hip.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
And then here comes the ambulance.
Yeah, the EMT guy who fortunately can get it up.
There's a lot of GILF action on the thumbnails. So why not make them the celebrities?
No way.
Let's see. Instead of just some random grandmother, why not like a famous Hypatia Lee grandmother?
You said your name a second ago. It got me thinking about our radio convention. And I think there's one part that just blew my mind for the dumbest reasons. We're at a table for lunch, and it's BJ. And then there's a buddy of ours from Utah who's in radio, and his name was AJ.
Yes.
So AJ and BJ are right there. And we're all eating. And then this dude just walks by, and he's wearing a shirt that says Geek. So BJ's like, oh, cool shirt. What's your name? And I kid you not, he's like, my name's CJ. And I'm like, what the F is going on?
Wasn't that awesome?
Like, in a room full of DJs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was incredible. BJ, like, dropped his cheesecake. He was so excited.
Wait, well, I've met people with names, but there's never ever that we ever had the alphabetical AJ, BJ, and CJ. And it was just so random because it was this dude we didn't know. I never even met the guy.
It was out of the blue. And we just met AJ. So it was like, so you're like, oh, this is AJ, I'm BJ. And the guy's like looking at you like, whatever. And you're like, what's your name? And he goes, CJ. And I'm like,
All right, we win.
I'm going home.
We win. Yeah, that was a really trippy part of the, you know, I just love when stuff like that happens. So that was cool.
And then, so Brother Weez, can we?
You want to do that?
Please. Do we have time? Can we give some love?
Well, it's up to you. What do you think? We can do that? All right. Okay, so, I will just tell what happened. I will just tell you the ceremony, and then you can tell me what really impressed you about everything.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
So your old partner in crime.
Yeah, every year what they do is a thing called the Kid Craddock Award. And Kid Craddock was a great radio broadcaster, and he had a show in Dallas, and it was syndicated in different parts of the country. And he also did many things inside our business. He created this whole thing, a network where we all could share ideas. Kid Craddock was a genius and a great performer. And at a very, very young age, I mean, I don't think he was even 50. He died just suddenly.
He might have just turned 50.
Yeah. It was, his death was sudden and tragic. And so what we did in the radio business, and not me, but just like some of the folks that are in charge in radio, said every year we want to award a great broadcaster, somebody who we really, really love, this award called the Kid Craddock Award, because they do for the business in basically what Kid did for the business. So it's a way to honor somebody that really does something for our industry.
And if I remember sort of correctly, it's kind of a cool way they do it. It's not voted by other people. It's the person who won it then picks who they believe should be the winner of it the next year.
Yeah.
So it was like Paul from Miami won it the year before and decided, you know, I think the person that should get it next is Brother Weez.
It was a beating. because I got a text from Paul the night before the award was supposed to be given.
Okay.
And he apologized to me because Paul and I are good friends, Paul in Miami. And he said, dude, I was going back and forth. I would have loved to have given this to you. He said, but gosh, Weeze is fantastic. And I texted him right back and go, dude, if you didn't give it to Weeze, I'd be mad at you because I met you through Weeze. You guys were the big stars and I was the sidekick at the time when you guys met. So Weeze really had more of an influence on you than I did.
Plus, give it to Weeze. I mean, it's almost, I'd be shocked if you don't get it next year. I mean, Weeze.
Yeah, if I don't get it, you know what? I tell everybody, I go, he did say he came off the stage, Weeze did after he got the award, and he goes, brah, now I got to come back here next year because I got to give the goddamn thing to you.
Yeah. So I'm like, dude.
But I mean,
you get it next year, right?
Yeah.
Year after that. Give it to your friend Steve.
I know,
right?
Oh yeah.
Year after that, I give it to our friend Rev.
Oh. Yeah.
And the next year, Rev gives it to Vicky.
Oh, this is bad.
This is great. We're just going to run the whole gamut.
And we just create a dynasty of the Kid Craddock Award. Everybody on our show.
Oh man.
We'll even give it to like Ryan Castle.
Oh yeah,
and like just, Karen. Like they'll be like, these aren't even morning radio people.
Yeah, but they're amazing people in the business.
Like we just dominate for the next 10 years.
Love it.
But dude, there's a lot of pressure.
No pressure.
I almost don't want the award for that reason. It's like I got to pick somebody.
Yeah.
And it really is a lot of pressure.
Pick somebody at random. Yeah, somebody that nobody even knows.
That would be even worse.
Pick somebody that you meet there.
Yeah.
Be like, after a night of drinking, some like guy buys you a shot. You're like, you're radio? Yeah, I just started.
Yeah.
Be there at 1:30 tomorrow. You're getting an award.
In that case, I'll tell you who I'm giving it to. I'll give it to Eddie, the bartender, one of the best bartenders we ever had.
He made a good Bloody Mary,
I'll tell you. And he was always there for me. Like, the guy was right there, and I was like, yeah, Eddie's getting the kick out. He's going to get the kick right. I would like to give a
shout out to the bartender who's been there for me.
Eddie, come on down. God bless you. You deserve this award.
But we shared a rather interesting story in front of an entire room of people that were there to celebrate his.
I'm going to let you tell it because I don't know how to tell it. I mean, how did that hit you? I actually, the story he told, he told on the air in 1989 while I was working with him.
And
I know this. It didn't shock me because I know the story.
The thing is, he has shared this story at our radio convention many, many years ago. But there's the turnover.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new people that are coming to these conventions. Like, you know, people in their 20s and 30s that are newer to radio. They're there. And it's like, there's a ton more
new faces in the room.
Right.
Never heard this story.
No. And maybe even more. It's not the same old dogs like it used to be. Now there's a lot of fresh, young talent that's pretty cool. So anyways, I'm in this room and I'm surrounded by a good number of women, you know, because the ladies, they flock to me.
That's a good point. By the way, prior to Steve going to boot camp, I would say it was like 99% men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now that Steve's there, well, you know what? He brings the girls to the
LL Cool Steve. Ladies love Cool Steve.
Is that what that means?
No.
Sure.
I just so happen to be in a section where there are women.
Yeah.
And he goes into, just out of the blue, just shares how back when he came back from Vietnam, he was so hard up for some action.
He was really like needing it.
Some dude offered to take care of him, like speaking to Weeze's microphone.
Yeah, he did.
And Weeze doesn't usually play for that team and just said, screw it. You know, a singer is just a singer, whatever.
Yeah.
And my microphone's cool with whoever's going to sing into it.
Good point.
And like he told it not in euphemism world.
No.
He went.
Yeah, he did.
He went straight for all the bad words.
He surely did.
While there's like big executives in this room, like major company executives, major players in the world of radio, and then a lot of new people who have no idea who the hell Weeze is.
Yeah.
He just, he's being awarded this like really distinguished prize.
Yeah.
And then just starts going off about how this dude took care of him back in the 80s.
Don't you wish that all acceptance speeches just went like that?
Oh my God, dude.
It's amazing.
Anyone who knew him were in tears. The rest of the room, you could hear a pin drop. They're all just like, what is going on? Is that what you got to do to win awards in radio?
So amazing.
Oh, his intro was so good. He gets asked the question, how do you feel about sharing personal stories on the radio? And you just see him pause. He goes, bruh, I got a story for you.
Yeah, you can tell. So I think he answered everybody's question. I guess you're a fan of personal stories on the radio.
Yes.
Is what I'm getting.
It was amazing. And once again, whenever that guy's in front of a microphone, he steals the show at boot camp.
And he really does, because right next to him, you think, oh my God, he's telling this story. And right next to him, a really, really up-and-coming female broadcaster by the name of Dana Cortez. And she's got a great show and syndicated in a bunch of markets. And I was like, oh my God, she's going to kill him.
No.
She loved him. They hit it off. Like the two of them at the pizza. I found out later the two of them were talking to each other on that panel while other people were talking.
Oh, yeah.
Because they both dug each other so much. And, of course, if you meet Dana, you know, I smile. And I go, yeah, she's a real, like, down-to-earth, really cool, just say it like it is person, just like Weeze, so it makes sense.
Yeah, there's a certain charm to Weeze that he could get away with these things. Because I remember when we all went to dinner many years ago, and I brought my wife that one year in Miami. Oh, yeah. And I kind of had to give her a heads up, like, hey, just heads up. Like, yeah. Brother Weeze is the coolest person in the world. But, you know, just take some of the things he says with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And by the end of that night, she's like, that guy's the best. I love that guy. He's so cool.
You're absolutely right. There's no way that I could say anything like the way he says it and get away with it. There's just no way.
I don't think there's anyone else in that convention that could have gotten away with it.
You know what was funny? And I don't think he realized this. They were showing videos honoring him.
Uh-huh.
And so they show two videos of people saying, hey, Weeze, fantastic. One guy is a guy that used to be our intern who's now the vice president of iHeartRadio's LA division. It's what a career this guy has had, but we knew him as a kid being an intern. And he says something really nice. And then there's another dude that comes on the screen and he goes, hey, blah, 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 you know, nice things. And I see Weeze looking around like, who the hell is that guy? It's the biggest honcho of his company, and he didn't know.
I'll be honest, I didn't know who it was either. I'm like,
we're not supposed to know.
Who is this guy, and why is he saying things to
me? I know, but we wouldn't know.
He never addressed himself.
Yeah, I don't know anybody else's head honchos. I know our guy, but it would be like if our big guy said something, and we would go, who's that guy?
I thought he was an actor.
Yeah,
like, oh, what is this guy? Is he on, like, The Office back in the day or something?
This guy's a guy. Like, their head honcho's been, like, I think, did he run MTV? I mean, he's done stuff, and that's why he's like, who's that guy? That was my favorite thing. Like, the head is honcho took time out to give him some love, and he's loud. This guy, leave me alone.
And shout out to you. You only really, and it was a minor grenade that you threw in the middle of one of our panels, but you really only snapped at people once.
Oh, what did I do?
When one person had a good question about females in radio, and it made everybody on the panel really awkward. And
they
blew her off and told her to get on social media more. And it was like the dumbest answer to a heartfelt question.
Yeah, it really was.
And it really kind of like, we're all like, oh boy, you could have just said, I don't know, I don't have an answer for your question, because it was a tough question. And then you came up and just basically just told them how they suck in answering questions.
I did say that, didn't I? Didn't I say that with due respect? Did I use that?
It was like you were like the white knight, and you're being so sweet and heartfelt, and you're just defending this woman who really had deserved a good answer. It deserved to be told, you know, we don't have the answer to that question. Don't tell her, hey, you need to just get on social media more and you'll be fine. And then you called her by the wrong name.
I know. I felt like
her name was like Elizabeth. Yeah. And he's like, you guys, the way you answered that question for Emily was just terrible. And
I'm I know. I felt so bad.
A for effort.
Everybody was around the room looking at me, and I'm like, I don't know where Emily is, but she deserved a better answer. And people look at me, who the hell's Emily? And I was like, and I didn't realize until I got back to the seat, and one of our friends, Corey, and she's awesome, and she's originally from here in Seattle. She does, and she decided to text me and said, hey,
Wrong name. Who the hell
is Emily laughing her ass off going, I think you mean Elizabeth. And I go ahead, and then I had to go on Twitter because I had to say, hey, Elizabeth, you were the Emily I was looking for. Sorry about this. And then Elizabeth goes, that's all right. You're 102. Those things are going to happen.
They're so perfect.
I know.
You're doing someone a solid.
I was.
And you didn't even know their name.
I'm telling you. I don't even know why I try to remember anything anymore. I don't know why.
Someone wants to know, did the guy from last year bring his really hot girlfriend again? Girlfriend in quotes.
Oh, yeah.
No.
He wasn't there.
He wasn't
but
there.
They're still together. They're still, dude.
Oh, wow.
They're still together. If you want, you know what? If you go on their social media, is he always on a boat with hot chicks or something?
Yes.
That's all he does now.
But the weird part is either on a boat with his hot girlfriend or his daughter, who's also very attractive. So like, and she's about the same age. You're just like, whoa, this guy.
That's a little, maybe that's why he doesn't come anymore, because maybe he doesn't want to.
Oh, good for him.
Doesn't want to bother us.
Good for him. He's living the good life.
Yeah, maybe he's living the good
life. And that's the guy, for those that don't know, we had him on the radio because you were convinced that he brought a hooker to the radio.
Dude, she was. She was high class. I mean, she looked like somebody you had to pay for. She was so good at her job. It turns out she really liked him.
Or maybe he's just so good at his job.
Yeah, it could be.
And how?
I felt badly because
you should give him the award.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah, you're right. He already got it, though. You can't give it to somebody twice, I don't think.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right, just give it to me, then. We'll be good.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that won't look nepotistic at all, will it?
It will. Who cares?
I know. I feel badly. I got to give it some thought, don't I?
We could create a dynasty, VJ.
I know, you're right.
The year after that, the rules change.
That would be the year that they stop.
As soon as I give it to you,
they'll put a kibosh.
They'll go, guess who's not going to pick this anymore?
Right.
Because they know you'll probably pick a wrestler.
Oh, man.
That
would be great. It's Chicago. I could get like Colt Cabana or CM Punk.
Yeah. And all of a sudden they come in, they go, we don't know why we're here. I want to make you the Kid Craddock Award.
Colt Cabana, he does podcasts.
All right, fair enough.
Perfect. No one knows who he is there.
That's all right. They're perfect. It's an audio entertainer. That's what it's all about.
Damn straight.
On Friday, Steve did get this one right.
The band Rednecks released the 90s song Cotton Eye Who.
Oh, where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? Yeah. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where'd you go? Where'd you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Yes.
Old school T-Birds fans will appreciate that one, because some guy would dance and take his shirt off and then get kicked out of every game.
Wow.
Next question, please.
Wow.
Sometimes I don't know what's wrong.
Wow. Somebody put something in the coffee that morning.
Woo!
Yeah, it might have been Matt.
Yeah, I think it was. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847-ish.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about 3 to 3.5 years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.